There is nothing worse than untapped potentials. If you know that you're made for more, this is the place. I know that every successful person I've ever met has one thing in common. They do not let themselves fall victim to their circumstances. They figure out a way to rise above it. So join me on this journey where I help you to be better, do better, and have better in life and in business. If you're feeling stuck and you're needing some practical tools, some hope to get you to that better life, this is definitely the place for you. Everybody, welcome to the Unstuck Podcast. And today I get a chance to have a conversation with my new friend, Marcel, who is joining me all the way from London today. So thank you so much, sweet friend, for hopping on and having this conversation. Marcel is a registered nutritionist, and she is a health coach, but there's so much more to her story, you guys, and I can't wait for us to just dive into all of her wisdom, all of her experience, and her heart to really help people get unstuck. So Marcel, why don't I turn it over to you? Let us into your world a little bit. Tell us, you know, how you're serving people, what you're doing, what you're most proud of these days.
Thanks so much for having me. So I am, as you said, I'm a registered nutritionist and health coach, but I specialize in helping people with their relationship with food and, you know, to make peace with their body and their body image. So particularly love to work with people who have been struggling with binge eating, yo-yo dieting, and, you know, have really been battling to sort of make change and bring in all the different elements. So it's not just really about what they're eating, it's about the how and the why and the what's going on all around that. And I just love seeing the amazing transformations that people can make.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. When we feel like our body is not in alignment with who we want to be, it affects so many other things. It affects our relationship. It affects our goal setting. And the people that are listening to this are often high achievers who are wanting the best for themselves. They want to better themselves. And there's, you know, a lot about just the way that we view our own bodies and the way we treat our own body that can kind of be a stumbling block for that. So I love the fact that that's your passion and that's how you're helping people. And one of the things that I love about your story, Marcel, is that this isn't necessarily where you necessarily thought you were going to be back when you started your career as a young adult, right? So tell us a little bit about where you started and kind of how you got here.
Yeah, sure. So I think throughout my childhood, I'd always wanted to be in the fashion world, or either as a designer, or, you know, I ended up going into fashion buying, though I trained as a textile designer originally, and went into this world, you know, excited about this sort of creative industry, mm-hmm. but soon realized that it wasn't quite what I'd kind of hoped it to be. And, you know, there was a lot of stress involved. It's quite a stressful job. I wasn't really looking after myself very well. Mm. So I'd be, you know, working all hours. I mean, I remember being stuck in the office till so late that the security guard of the office had to basically kick me out. And I was like the last one there every night, first one in the morning, couldn't keep up with the workload. There was, you know, in fairness, it was quite fun as well, because there was a lot of traveling and, you know, I was obviously much younger then, but I wasn't eating well, I wasn't sleeping well, and I ended up developing sort of IBS and sort of lots of gut problems. And, you know, I couldn't find a way out of it. You know, I felt like I was sort of stuck in this cycle of stress, and the stress made the IBS worse. And then, you know, that made me more stressed.
And
there were certain anxieties around food that I had, because I was worried, I'm like, should I be eating that? Should I be eating gluten? Should I be doing this? Mm-hmm. Should I be doing that?
Yes.
You know, so there was a certain amount of that kind of anxiety going around. You know, and eventually I went through all the sort of medical world, you know, different doctors in the UK to try and sort, but nothing really worked until eventually I went to a nutritionist who was a naturopathic nutritionist, mm-hmm. and she seemed to kind of get me and work on things in a natural way, and I managed to sort of get myself out of that. Though I knew that deep down, what I really needed to do as well was address the stress in my life and the sort of kind of get myself out of that kind of ruling job that didn't really suit me. I think she, you know, obviously she inspired me because I thought, wow, what if, you know, this can make such a transformation in my health and how I'm feeling and my energy, you know, I'd like to do this for other people.
Yeah.
So that's when the sort of, you know, the first seeds were planted in terms of making that change and
right.
career change.
Oh my goodness. So, you know, one of the things that you hit on that I think is going to really resonate with the people who are listening is that need for self-care. And I love the fact that your journey and your trials of lack of self-care led you to what you're supposed to be doing, led you to your passion and your calling, right? But there was that moment in there where you were not taking care of yourself. You were not taking care of your body. And I think that I can relate to that. I think that I'm driven. I think that anybody that is in a space like I am right now, working a full-time job and having a family and trying to grow two businesses online and that I love and I could do all night long and not, you know, rest definitely does not lead enough for me to take care of myself. So I would love for you to talk about self-care a little bit and how did you get yourself out of the place that you were with that stress and not taking care of your body, not eating well, not sleeping well, to finally just get back on the right track. So I would love to hear more about that.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't always get it right now, but
thank you for that because that helps me too.
Yeah. I mean, you know, especially during the pandemic, sadly, you know, so many people have been struggling with sort of disordered eating that I sort of got quite overwhelmed with it. I threw myself into the work, you know, and I had to kind of actually set boundaries in even now to myself to say, look, I need to, you know, be quite strict on the amount of clients I'm taking on so I can look after them properly, but also look after myself, otherwise I'm going to burn out.
Right.
But yeah, the time, I'm just trying to think, just sort of, you know, trying to get that work-life balance back. I think it was probably very hard to really do it until I actually realized that I needed to move on with my work. But, you know, I started to try and prioritize sleep a little bit and set some more boundaries in place for myself. I started really learning about, you know, really sort of understanding more about the foods and the foods that suited me. But then, of course, when I went to retrain in nutrition, that's when I began to really understand how I could look after myself a bit, you know, a lot better, and just doing some things like journaling can help as well, you know, just to sort of release that stress at night. I find doing, you know, a nightly download where I ask myself, some key questions. What's the one thing that I'm worrying about? You know, I've been worrying about today, you know, and sort of just writing it down and actually thinking about it. And it comes down to the thoughts around that, really.
Yeah.
You know, is it really that bad? You know, am I creating a kind of, you know, I like to use the word awfulizing, actually, because a lot of my clients do that. And I've been known to do that, where you catastrophize on things and make things, problems a lot bigger than they are.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Oh my gosh. Add somebody who does that every day, right?
yeah, exactly. So that's one of the things I think I've had to work on myself on all of this stuff, really, as well.
Yeah.
You know, and
one of the things that you said too that I think is worth mentioning that I want to give you some credit for as well is that you had mentioned that you had a diagnosis of IBS. And because I work in anesthesia during my day job, I actually get the privilege of taking care of a lot of people with that illness, and it can be very debilitating. And I think that when we are given a chronic illness, sometimes we can retreat ourselves into a victim mindset where life's not fair. I can't do all the things that I want to do. and therefore, you know, I can't do anything that I want to do. And sometimes that happens. And I think that it's amazing that you took your diagnosis, right? And you allowed it to lead you to somebody who could help you live with it. And that person then, and the experience of that, you took it and literally changed it into something that you could do to help other people. And I just think that's amazing.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, no, it was just that, you know, I suppose you can think of it as a blessing, really, because it led me to doing the work that I absolutely love now. Mm-hmm. I know how to manage it. And, you know, I work with a lot of people with gut problems as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, separately to the disordered eating, but also it's so common for people who are, you know, if they binge eat or restrict food, or, you know, people with bulimia as well, mm-hmm. To have gut problems. So, you know,
you've used the words disordered eating a couple of times. Describe to the audience what exactly that is.
Yes, that's a good point. So I, you know, probably people have obviously heard of eating disorders that I think of as one end of the spectrum of the scale, that, you know, people with diagnosed eating disorders such as anorexia, mm-hmm. Bulimia, binge eating disorder mm-hmm. is another, you know, more recently sort of got its own sort of diagnosis now.
Yeah.
But they're along the spectrum, you know, the other end of the spectrum, I suppose you could call normal eaters. What is that? You could get into a whole conversation of what is normal eating, but there's a lot of people, you know, along the way, there's so many people that somewhere along that spectrum that have an unhealthy relationship with food. So perhaps, you know, they are constantly dieting. Mm-hmm. They are, you know, have anxieties over food. They restrict certain food groups, or they're restrictive of calories in a certain way, and, you know, so there are many people, so it kind of covers that whole area, you know, as far as I'm concerned,
you know.
And there are you know, I think people are surprised. Firstly, some people don't actually realize that how they're eating, mm-hmm. you know, is a bit disordered, and that there are so many people struggling with this as well, and, you know, with their relationship with their body as well.
You know, one of the things that you just said that stood out to me that I can relate to with so many conversations that I've had lately is the association of anxiety and eating. So it doesn't necessarily have to mean that I think that sometimes we think about it just in terms of, okay, I'm an emotional eater, I'm upset, so I'm going to eat. Okay. Or somebody that says, like, I don't want to gain weight, so I have anxiety around eating. So those are, you know, two ends of the spectrum that you just talked about. But I think that there are so many people out there also that are, what's the best way for me to describe it? I have some friends that are in fertility treatments right now, and they're trying their hardest to make all of the things work. So they're very, very careful on everything that they eat, to the point of it producing anxiety. Right. You know, you said, like, you might have a new diagnosis of IBS and you're like, I don't know what I can eat, or I have, you know, something going on, and is it gluten? Is it this? Is it that? And people can get a lot of anxiety around what they're putting in their mouths for so many different reasons. And
exactly.
One of the things that, you know, this platform has really done is attracted people who want better. And we want to be better. We want to do better. We want to have better. And I think that when we can identify that there is an anxiety component to what we're eating, that is essentially siphoning energy that we could be putting in to the things that we're most passionate about. And we don't even realize it, mm-hmm. right? At the end of the day, we're exhausted.
Yeah.
And we didn't accomplish everything that we wanted to accomplish. But if you really thought about it, all of the extra energy and things that you put into your relationship with food could actually be inhibiting yourself from being able to do all the things that you're trying to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Lachelle, that what we're doing when we have that anxiety, mm-hmm. we are, you know, we're triggering that stress response in our body. So we're automatically, in effect, shutting down you know, the working, you know, effective working of our digestive system. So if you are coming from a place where you've also got, you know, gut problems, digestive problems, the stress response puts you into your sympathetic nervous system. You're in that stress response, so you're automatically not going to be necessarily producing the digestive enzymes and the, you know, the stomach acid that helps to break down your, you know, your food and digest it and absorb all your nutrients.
Right.
So that will in turn affect your energy and affect the, you know, cause bloating and all those not very nice, unpleasant symptoms
yes.
that you can get as well.
Absolutely. And then in your works, Marcel, I'm curious about this too. In your works, do you find that there are people who, okay, I'm going to say it like this. I'm a high achiever, right? And I'm recognizing that what I put in my mouth has to be considered fuel. And I know that I definitely eat things that are not fuel giving food, right? They're convenient or for me, I love the taste of food. So it's like I'm choosing to enjoy the experience of eating this versus what is the best thing for my body, because I have all of these big goals. I want to have more energy. And I know that if I put the right things into my body, it's going to be the fuel that my body needs to perform all the things that I'm trying to perform. Do you find that that is something that other people struggle with? And what would your advice be to help somebody make the choices that they need to really fuel their body?
Yeah. So, I mean, I work on obviously looking at breaking it down and what foods that are going to work for their physiology and, you know, what foods are going to help with the energy, but also what foods are going to help sort of reduce the likelihood of cravings from that point of view. And there's lots of different things we can look at with cravings, because it's not just about that. Obviously, it's about, you know, mindset and everything else. But one of the things we can look at is the physiology and regulating their blood sugar, so they're less likely to crave sort of sugary foods, and therefore they're more likely to eat more helpful foods.
Yeah.
But I definitely try. I have one of the things that I do say for people is, because there's a lot of people with that anxiety that I should be eating this and I should be eating that, or what should I be eating? Am I eating the wrong food? And it's more about actually, let's try and take out the good foods, the good and bad.
Yeah.
Some foods are obviously more helpful for your physiology, but also some foods give us joy, and that's important too. And we want to, you know, we also want to enjoy our food and feel satiated. And then we're much less likely to crave or go, you know, end up binging on foods. And, you know, it just is a much more balanced way. So I think it's important to get the balance. Yes, get your nutrients in and, what you know, understand the things that work with your body, but also listen to your body and understand what you, because you are the expert of your own body, nobody else. So don't listen to what this guru, that guru, you know, this diet, that diet. How on earth will they know what's best for you and your body?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's about learning to eat mindfully as well. It's so important.
I love that. Okay, I want to get into the mindful eating and really trying to figure out how do we know what's best for our body in just a second. So you guys, hold tight. I'm going to tell you all about this upcoming course that I have coming up. I'm super, super excited about it. I think it's going to bless so many people. So tune into that, and then we'll be back here with Marcel in just a couple of seconds. Hey, Lachelle Weamy here, and I gotta ask you, are you feeling like you're always on your freaking phone and you're trying to run your business, your family's complaining about you always being on your phone, you feel like you're winging it constantly, and all you want to do is have a strategy that lets you be 100% authentic and you are literally attracting the right people to you? Oh my goodness, that was me too, and I had to figure out a system that would make that work, and I totally nailed it. I have a program all designed to help you do that too, including a chance to spend the entire day with me so I can help you write copy that attracts people, and you will literally be done for an entire year. If that sounds like it's something that you need, we totally need to talk. Go ahead and click this link and let's get started. All right, you guys, let's get back to this conversation with Marcel. Goodness, this has been so profound for me. And I just want to talk a little bit about what you were just saying before the break about mindful eating. Tell me a little bit about that. What does that mean?
So it's essentially starting to, you know, really listen to the basics are: start to listen to your hunger cues, start to tune in to what your body wants. So your hunger, your satiety, rather than — I like to talk about satiety rather than necessarily fullness. So satiety is like that feeling of completeness, you know, when you finish a meal. So it's really about tuning in and getting that awareness, you know, as with anything, you know, any kind of mindfulness about anything.
Yeah.
Just noticing and being aware without judgment, what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, really. So, you know, I think a lot of people, we're sort of brought up to think, I have to finish everything on my plate, for example.
Yes.
You know, I certainly was told that as a child. And actually, there's so many things that affect and override our hunger signals and satiety signals, that it's very easy, you know, that our environment around us, things that we were told as a child and beliefs and all sorts of things that come into it. So really it's about, you know, cutting out all of that and thinking, okay, how am I feeling right now? Am I feeling hungry, or is there something else that I'm perhaps needing, you know, or am I craving? Is it because I'm tired? Is it because I'm stressed? You know, am I feeling sad about something? Am I reaching for food for that? Or actually, am I hungry? And when you're actually hungry, you'll get those sort of physical symptoms, you know, feelings like that sort of emptiness, or feeling a little bit kind of, you know, shaky even.
Yeah.
That sort of, when you're hungry. And it's sort of really noticing and tapping into those physical sensations and thinking, okay, yeah, actually I am hungry. And then noticing sort of as you go towards, while you're eating your meal, am I feeling, beginning to feel full now, and am I feeling satiated, am I, you know, or am I getting overfull? And, you know, perhaps the next time I know that perhaps I need to listen and think about that I don't need to finish everything on my plate, but if I do, or I need more, then that's fine too. So it's really about tuning in on all of those things.
Yes. And I think one of the things that I know I have to be better about is to just taking my time. I think that I'm just always in a hurry, and I, you know, eat really fast. And so if I were to take the opportunity to slow down and to be able to give my body a chance to talk to me, I would actually be able to listen to it a little bit better. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that's key, actually. That's probably one of the most important things. Eat slowly. It sounds really obvious, but again, you know, if you're slowing down, you're chewing well, you're giving signals to your digestive system to work properly as well. But yes, it does take time for, you know, your brain to catch up with what's going on in your stomach, because you have different satiety signals that are going on, and you know that it takes time for it to know, for your brain to know where you are. And rather than just — you have stretch receptors on your stomach as well, but that's only one part of the kind of system.
Yeah.
There's a whole more complex system than that.
And there's two things that I want to talk about. One of them is the blocks that people might have that you've mentioned. I want to go into that, but I wanted to just to revisit something that you said a couple minutes ago first. And that was that you have to listen to your body and your body telling you that it's hungry. I think that that was really profound for me, because there's so many things that my body is able to tell me, but oftentimes it's literally like, I'll just think of something. I'm like, ooh, that sounds good, I'm going to go eat it. Whereas it's literally just the thought of it made me think of that, and therefore I just go and eat it, instead of saying like, okay, well, is it because I just thought about it and that sounds good, but am I really hungry? Like, do I really need to eat that? Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So, there's so many environmental triggers, aren't there, around us. So it's so common and easy to be able to just think, you know, you could walk past a bakery and smell the bread, or see, you know, see some cakes in there and think, oh, you know, so that's one of the possible cues. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I work on with my clients, actually, because, you know, look at the different cues that happen, and look at, so that they have an understanding, if they're doing something habitual regularly, that they find it hard to sort of get out of.
Yes, yes.
Then, you know, we look at sort of the habit loop and what's the cue? So what, you know, is it something like that in the environment?
Yeah.
Some people in, if they're still working in offices at the moment, but, you know, there's just chocolate bars and confectionery everywhere. And so it's really difficult to, sort of just not automatically go for it.
Yeah. That's so that just the acknowledgement of that and saying like, okay, yeah, what is my environment telling me? Is it that I just saw that commercial on TV and that made me think of that I wanted that, or is it that I smelled something? Or, and so just having that awareness, that mindfulness, I guess, right, is what you were saying of what are all the things going on before I make the decision to just, you know, put something in my mouth, because then I think kind of bringing the anxiety and the self-care back to the conversation, I think that then oftentimes what we'll do is we'll just indulge because of all of these environmental triggers, right? And then we get down on ourselves, and then that causes anxiety, and that again zaps the energy that we could be putting towards the things that we're trying to accomplish in our goals.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's sort of the kind of vicious cycle of feeling like you've blown it. So,
yeah.
And often that people can think, well, I've blown it, so therefore I might as well just carry on.
Yeah.
So it's about breaking that cycle. Definitely.
So definitely. You had brought up some mind blocks that you said that sometimes we have to kind of get a little bit deeper and acknowledge, like, what are some of the things in our subconscious mind, in our upbringing, all the things that are impacting this or going into this. Talk about that a little bit, and how would somebody be able to identify some of those blocks for themselves?
Yeah. So it's, as you said, one of the things that can really sort of influence our belief system, and, you know, we have those deep rooted beliefs, are, you know, what's happened in terms of what we've been told when we're growing up.
Yeah.
By our family, people around us, what we've learned from being at school and culturally, you know, and there's a lot of influence that, you know, has, I suppose, is made sort of the cult diet culture so strong, in that it's just everywhere. So it's kind of seems to be with a lot of people who really struggle with that. Well, you know, this is what I should be doing. It's normal to be dieting all the time, or restricting, or I should be, you know, in a smaller body. And so people have these really kind of deep rooted beliefs. So the first thing, I suppose the first step is to really just to try and notice the thoughts actually that are coming out. So the way that you talk to yourself as well. So, you know, often people are not very kind to themselves and showing them much self-compassion. So, saying if they've been dieting, and unfortunately, you know, we know that most diets in the long term don't work. You know, about 95% of diets from the research, after between 1 and 5 years, people more often than not regain the weight, and then they feel like a failure.
Right.
And so they then talk to themselves in that way. Well, I've put on the weight. Why have I put on the weight? Have I failed? You know, and then it leads to I'm a bad person, and, you know, low self-worth. So how are they talking to themselves? And I noticed with lots of my clients, when they start to really listen in and write down their thoughts, even to note, the first stage of noticing is like, you know, I hadn't even realized that I say these things all the time to myself.
Right.
And then the next stage is to start to think, okay, well, what else could I say that would be more helpful, actually?
Right.
You know, and there's a lot of kind of work that goes on with that, to sort of move them out of this, you know, this thing, feeling very stuck in this mindset, really.
Right. And, you know, one of the things that comes to my mind is just the awareness of what your thoughts are, right? And even going back to the mindfulness, is the awareness of what are my triggers? Am I really hungry? If I am, what are the symptoms that I am having that, you know, confirm that? And instead of being judgmental of yourself, being curious of yourself, right? Asking curious questions.
Yes.
And just being really curious about, like, am I really hungry? And the curiosity allows us to be less judgmental of ourselves, I think, because I think that the negative talk can come back to our self-care or lack thereof, right? And so if we have lack of good communication going on in between our ears, we have stress, anxiety over all kinds of things, including eating, we're not getting enough sleep, and all of that stuff to just totally starts to dwindle away at who we are as a person and what we're able to accomplish.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Because it affects all areas mm-hmm. of your life.
Yeah.
If you feel like you've failed at dieting, then you're not good enough at this, or you're
yes.
not a good enough mother, or you're not, you know, good, not good enough at your job. And it just goes.
Oh my gosh. That catastrophizing that you mentioned earlier is exactly what's happened to me lately. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm not good at this. So I must not be a good this or this or this. And it's like, whoa. Where are you going with this? So I think that awareness and that curiosity and that self-compassion is so important. Michelle, I would love to just pick your brain a little bit too about people that are listening to this. And let's just say that they do have big goals and they want to be taking better care of themselves. What diet, I say diet in the sense of food choices. Do you recommend yes. people who are trying to just continuing to sustain their energy or to give themselves more energy, feel less sluggish so that they can accomplish all of the things that they have on their list for today?
Yeah, no, sure. I mean, to put it simply, I'd say eat real food where you can. Mm-hmm. Just have a good balance. Obviously, it sounds obvious, but get in your veg. Mm-hmm. It helps with your the diversity of your gut health, and the ecosystem in your gut. So getting the variety of foods in your diet is really key as well. Ensuring that getting your healthy fats in, getting carbohydrates in. Obviously the slow releasing carbohydrates, well, I say obviously it's not that obvious, but actually the slow releasing carbohydrates are the ones that contain the fiber. So they're not the refined carbohydrates. They are more likely to give you more sustained energy than say the refined foods, which are the kind of, the foods that are more I call them the sort of beige foods, like the white pastas and things. If you get the whole grains versions, they'll give you more sustained energy.
Okay, so when you think about, I'm literally breaking this down so that we can all understand. So if I'm looking yes. at a carbohydrate, I want to look at ones that are higher in fiber because those are going to give me sustained energy longer.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So it comes down to, again, I mentioned regulating your blood sugar levels. And mm-hmm. the key for that is to have I'd say that it's a bit, you should really individualize it to yourself and what works for you. But as a rule, your three meals, the three balanced meals a day, getting in plenty of fiber, mm-hmm. Particularly in the form of vegetables, some fruit and some whole grains and, other things like lentils and legumes and things like that, that okay. you can get the whole grains in. But also getting in your healthy fats as well. So that's, your olive oil and avocado and oily fish if you eat fish. Mm-hmm. And making sure that you're also having enough protein as well, because that's something that I think with a lot of people going plant-based, it's harder to get the
right.
amount of protein in.
Right.
And that's important for energy, for sustaining energy and regulating your blood sugar as well. So, because when your blood sugar is regulated, you're much more likely to feel, more energized
right.
for longer.
Right. And I think, to kind of tie all of our conversation into a bow, right? If we are constantly worried that we are eating too much or not eating enough or getting down on ourselves for eating certain things and not eating certain things and all that stuff, that all adds to energy depletion. Mm-hmm. It adds to anxiety and it adds to you maybe not accomplishing everything that you want to accomplish in the day. And so giving yourself that mindfulness and giving yourself that permission to listen to your body, positive self-talk, and making healthy choices, but not getting down on yourself is really sounds like the key.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think you've got it. You've got it all tied up there.
You're a good teacher. You're a good teacher. Is there anything else, Marcel, that you haven't had a chance to share or teach us or, you know, given any additional tips that we haven't had a chance to cover yet?
Just something to think. Probably, you know, just to tie in sleep again.
Yes.
That sleep can make such a difference if you do struggle with cravings and, you know, your food in that way, and sugar cravings particularly. We know that sleep can actually, lack of sleep or poor sleep can impact our hunger hormones. So you're more likely to be more hungry, you're more likely to go for more of the sort of less helpful foods, mm-hmm. should we say, you know, more of the sugary stuff.
So
actually that's another reason to really prioritize your sleep, because it can obviously play a big part.
That is such a great, oh my gosh, such a great point. And I want to make sure that we have all of the ways that people can connect with you in the show notes so that if people want to follow your journey, I know that you have a free Facebook group that you lead. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. I've got the Food Freedom Collective. On Facebook. So the idea is to really get a supportive group for women to start to build a happy relationship with food and their body.
I love that so much. And I just want to thank you for sharing your story, your vulnerability, your expertise, your heart for people. And I thank you for having the conversation with me today.
Oh, thank you. It's been great.
Thank you so much for listening to the Untucked Podcast. I'm so grateful to be on this journey with you. And don't forget to check out the show notes if you want to get into my private club, The Better Club, to be able to learn better ways to be better, do better, and have better. So until next time, keep showing up. Let's get unstuck together. Have a great day.